If you would stand, we'll continue with our song service. Psalms chapter 28, verse number 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." It's good to be in the Lord's house today. Brother Gary, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Take your hymn books now and turn to hymn number 167. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Hymn number 167. stand once again. Let's turn to hymn number 206. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Hymn number 206. Stand as we stand.
Never lost a battle. Magnificent.
books once again. Let's stand and turn to hymn number 228. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Hymn number 228. In the Indianapolis area, and did just a fabulous job there, and now travels as an evangelist, speaking at different churches across America. It's our honor to have him. I'm glad to have made his friendship many years ago, and his love for the Lord is a wonderful thing. He brought his wonderful wife, Wanda, with him, so he's going to behave today. That's a blessing. And so he'll be coming as soon as Brother Charles is through with his solo. Lord bless you for being here today.
unclean. All the secrets he has kept from her so long, they're finally known. Her big mistake, that one regret that haunts her to this day, it just won't fade. So many different stories we thought could not be redeemed, but it's against our darkest failures we start to see the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. What a thought. Just a single drop forever wipes away our every stain, and with its power, every chain that held us now lies at our feet, and we stand free. That's the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. Forever changed, I stand amazed by everything. Of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood, the beauty of the blood, the beauty of the blood.
And that's a blessing. I sure have enjoyed the music here this morning, choir. You did a great job. I love a good choir. And you have a good one here for sure. And praise the Lord for the message of the songs. Well done. Of course, the specials that have been sung, orchestra and all that. What a blessing to be here today and enjoy these things. We thank the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to Luke 16, Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. And while I'm turning there, just tell you just a little bit about Wanda and I. He said, I brought Wanda with me today. She goes everywhere with me, thank God. She's been with me all these years. We were married in 1974 at Whittier Lane Baptist Church. Served there 2 years as youth director and then served until March of 2019 as the pastor. And as you might expect, I was there all those years in the ministry and the pastoring. When we retired from pastoring and went on the road, by the way, I'm retired from pastoring. It doesn't offend me to somebody say you retired, but I'm not retired from the ministry. Amen. Thank God he's got open doors for us, and we continue to serve him. Thank the Lord for that. But as you might imagine, being there all that time, they made a big fuss over us when the day that we retired and had some special things and gifts and all of that. And one of the things they did was they named me Pastor Emeritus. So I'm Pastor Emeritus now of Whittier Lane Baptist Church. And I thought, well, that sounds good. I've heard that term, and no other guys have been named that. And I thought, I need to find out what that word means. And I looked the word up, and in every way that it's used, the word emeritus means was. So that's what I am. I'm Pastor Was of Whittier Lane Baptist Church. And I thank the Lord that they would at least they acknowledge that. They admit that we were there all those years, and nothing I'd have rather spent the majority of our lives doing than pastoring that church and seeing God work and bless. And what a privilege it is to serve God. Amen? It's in my message today. But don't you ever get the attitude you're doing God a favor when you serve Him. And thank God He opens doors where we can serve Him. It is a privilege to serve the Lord. And it's something I want to do as long as I have breath. If God allows me, I want to serve Him however we can. Luke chapter 16 today, verse 19. If you're able to do so, I ask you to stand as we show our respect for the reading of God's holy word. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 is where we'll start. Let me wet my whistle here a little bit before we get going. I want to read down through the end of the chapter, verse 31. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the rich man, with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, or undesirable, unwanted things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, again today we thank you for your precious word, and I pray your blessings will be upon the reading of thy word. And I ask you, Lord, that you'll help me as your servant to have clarity of thought and strength of voice and the leadership and the filling and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that you might use me today to bring a message that you'll use to minister to hearts. Lord, we realize today and we acknowledge our complete and utter dependence upon you to do anything that matters, and yet with you we know we can. And Father, we pray today that you'll bless the message, help it to go forth as you'd want it to go. And then, Lord, I pray it'll be received as you would want it to be received. Lord, we pray today that you'd be honored by the message, but we pray you'd be honored also by the response of people to thy word and thy spirit as you work. And we praise and we will thank you and praise you for what you do. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and please be seated. I want to acknowledge today before I start that I certainly don't mind preaching on this subject, and God leads that way from time to time. But I can't say that it's my favorite subject to talk about. It's not something that in general conversation, my friends, that we're talking about this awful place called hell. We're not talking about eternal torment all the time. And yet, it's in the Bible, and there's a reason to preach this book. And by the way, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says we glory in the cross. And the reason we glory in the cross is because it's our way of being redeemed so that we don't go to this awful place called hell. Our text, I believe, is one of the most eye-opening and informative passages in all the Word of God. This passage refutes several false doctrines concerning hell and life after death. There are those who would say there is no hell. But our text says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And there are those who would say there's no hereafter. But the rich man and Lazarus both were conscious and knew what was going on. There are those who would say that hell is just the grave. And yet in verse 24, the rich man said, have mercy on me, for I am tormented in this flame. By the torments of hell, not only the flame there, but he speaks of an awful thirst that he had. He was so thirsty that he begged for a couple drops of water. You know, I know what it's like to be hot and out in the sun and the heat and the humidity and work and sweat and work up a great thirst. I know what that's like. But I have never been so thirsty in my life that I would have given you anything for your finger dipped in water and the little bit of water I could get off of that. This man was tormented with the flames and the pain of the flames, but also with the thirst of hell. I said the passage is informative, but it's also very eye-opening. We ought to open our eyes to the fact that there is a literal hell. It is not a myth, nor is it a fairy tale. And this certainly is not a parable. There's nothing about this story that's in parabolic form. This is a real rich man and a real man named Lazarus that went into eternity. And it tells what happened of them. It's a real place. This place called hell is a real place filled with real people like you and me and our families and our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers. Hell is a real place. In our message today, I'd like to take a look at four different people. I want to look at the rich man and Lazarus and Abraham and you. I believe we see all of us in this passage here today. I know that a message on hell is certainly unsophisticated. It's unpopular with many people. I'm sure it would be considered politically incorrect, which is one reason I feel so good about preaching it. The title of the message is The Rich Man and Lazarus and You. The Rich Man and Lazarus and You. And by the way, before any Christians reach up and turn the knob off and say, I'm a Christian, I don't need this. This is a message for saved people as well as unsaved people. It's a message for all of us. Notice, first of all, the rich man, as we talk about the characters we see here in this account. Notice he was a rich man. He had this world's goods. He was rich. He wore the finest clothes of his day. The Bible says he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and that's the finest attire that a man could buy and wear in that day and time, in that culture. The Bible says he fared sumptuously. I know that's not a word we use a lot in everyday speech, but it speaks of the fact that he lived in absolute luxury. No doubt he lived in one of the finest homes. He was probably accustomed to the finest furnishings in that home, as well as the finest foods to partake of. He had servants, and he enjoyed every pleasure that he desired. He was a rich man who indulged in the things of this world. And the Bible says he fared sumptuously every day. Every day. I would say nearly all of us, if not all of us here today, could give testimony to the fact that we fare sumptuously sometimes. I don't know about you, but it was always our practice to go on vacation sometime during the year. And when we went on vacation, we spent money on things we normally would not spend money on. You know, and one of the highlights of vacation is places to eat. But also recreation and so forth that you wouldn't do every day, but you just kind of live it up as much as your means will allow you to do so when you go on a vacation. Of course, during the holiday season, we fare pretty sumptuously, don't we? You know, with food and fellowship and gifts and all those kind of things, and a lot goes on. We know a little bit about that. But this man fared sumptuously every day. I think it's safe to say he never came home to leftovers for supper. Although I'd say sometimes that might be missing out on some of the best stuff. Amen. Some stuff's really good as leftovers, but that wasn't his lifestyle. Verses 22 and 23, the rich man died and went to hell. Could be said of him, he had it all, but he died without Jesus Christ. If you live without Him, you're going to die without Him. And that's what happened to the rich man. He reminds me of Naaman the leper over in 2 Kings chapter 5. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read you one verse. But Naaman the leper says some things about him that are pretty admirable. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." You know, you can say all kinds of good things about Naaman the leper. He was a man of position. He was captain of the Syrian army. Now, I'm not belittling the rank of captain in our military, because that's a pretty good rank, I understand that. But he wasn't just a captain. He would have been like the head general of the armies of Syria and had given great victory and deliverance to his country in battle. He is a man of position. He had prestige. He was called a great man. He was a man of character and integrity. He was called an honorable man. You know, you can't have honor without character and integrity. And certainly he was a man of courage. He's called a mighty man of valor. I mean, he went to battle with great courage and valor in the battle. Say all those nice things about him, but he was a leper. Without going into all that disease is about, just suffice to say it's a horrible disease and it's highly contagious. And when you become a leper, you became an outcast to the rest of society. Lepers didn't hang around non-lepers because they didn't want to get that disease. And so this great man, with all these things you could say, was not allowed to be around other people that he wanted to be around. He was a leper. You know, you can say a lot of good things about some unsaved men. I've known some unsaved men that were really, as far as men are concerned, were good men. I've known unsaved men that were good husbands, as much as you could be without the Lord, you know what I'm saying, and good fathers and providers for their family. I've known unsaved men that were very moral men and kind and generous, and they make good neighbors. But without Christ, they're still unsaved. They're still lost. I was out visiting one day, knocking on some doors and inviting people to church and giving them tracts and all of that a few years back. And I knocked on a door and a man came to the door. It was nice weather and all that. Came out on the porch and we spoke for a while. And I told him who I was. I invited him to our church. I've given him a tract and so forth. And I asked him the question, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And he started telling me about what a good man he is. Talked about how good he was to all the neighborhood kids. He said, you know, we got a lot of kids in the neighborhood here that their parents work. And, you know, after school, a lot of them just come to our house and hang out till their parents get off work. And we take care of them. Sometimes we feed them supper and so forth. And he talked about during the summertime, man, we have kids around here all the time. And we love the kids. And no doubt he was a good neighbor to all those neighbors. And he told me also about a neighbor that had recently put up a fence around his yard, and he had helped him put the fence up. And you know, that's hard work if you've ever done that, especially if you're using a post hole digger, if you've ever used one of those things. And I have, and I know what that's like. But he helped him put up his fence and so forth. And he just went on until I said, you know, what you're telling me is you're a good neighbor. And I'd be glad to have you as a neighbor. But you know, being a good neighbor won't get you to heaven. The Bible tells you need to be born again. I wasn't able to lead him to Christ, but I left him a gospel tract. I gave him a few words of witness and went on down the road. I'm telling you today, no matter how good a person might be compared to other men and women, without Christ, they're still lost. This man, the rich man in hell, wanted his brothers to be warned. He said to Abraham, send Lazarus that he may warn my brothers. He didn't want them in hell. He said, I don't want them coming to this awful place. By the way, hell is not a place of fellowship. I've talked to people before talking about their soul, and they very flippantly say things like, well, me and all my friends are going there. We'll have a big time when we get there. There's no big time in hell. I believe there's pain and suffering and loneliness and isolation. It's an awful place. Place of no fellowship, only suffering. Maybe the rich man was at least partly responsible for the unsaved condition of his brothers. It's quite possible that he was the oldest and maybe considered the most successful materially in the family. Probably looked up to by some of his other brothers. He didn't want to see those that he had influenced for hell end up there. He didn't want to face that fact in their lives. It's a place of torment. You know, another really bad thing, Christian, will you listen to me today? Another really bad thing is to be a Christian and allow your life to influence people for hell instead of heaven. And it does happen. You know, you say, how would I do that? Well, when Christians live in hypocrisy, when Christians are dishonest, by worldly, ungodly living, people influence people for hell instead of heaven. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Even the failure just to mention to people that you're saved and they need to be saved, if you fail to do that, you're helping them go the wrong way. You're helping them to stay the wrong way in their lives. It's important we as Christians not be stumbling blocks, and it's important we be stepping stones to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, the rich man was rich, but he was lost. He was lost. Then there's Lazarus, and of course, Lazarus lacked this world's goods. The Bible says he was laid at the rich man's gate, which makes me think he was crippled or an invalid. And we know that he lacked health because of that. And I'll just say this very quickly. We ought to thank God for our health. Amen. Whatever measure of health we have, we ought to thank God for it. I'm telling you, at this time of my life, I don't run and jump and play the games I used to play, but I'm thankful for the health I have. Amen. We ought to thank God for the health we have. He lacked health. And he begged for crumbs, the Bible says, from the rich man's table. He wasn't begging for silver or gold or any kind of money. He lacked food. He was hungry. He lacked food. And then the Bible says the dogs licked his sores. The Bible says that he was full of sores, which means he had a lot of sores on his body. And there was no medicine. There was no bandages. Just the dogs licking his sores. He lacked comfort. So think about Lazarus there. He lacked health and he lacked food. And he lacked comfort for his physical infirmities. But the Bible says he died and went to heaven. He went to be there with Abraham. He was saved. Now look at it this way. The truth is, he had nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what the songwriter wrote years ago. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Silver, gold, houses, land. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. He had nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, if you know the Lord is your Savior and you walk with Him, when you die, you will have His presence and His comfort. Through the process of dying as well as when this life is over. What a contrast there is between the death of a sinner and the death of a saint. By the way, don't let that word saint throw you. The word saint means Christian. We give it the connotation of a godly Christian, and that's okay. We're talking about the death of a saved person or the death of a lost person. In Psalms 116 and verse 15, the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, we look at death in a different way. We look at death as life's greatest evil. And I think that's a good thing to call it. It is life's greatest evil. But for the Christian, it's the door to heaven. And it's precious in God's sight because it's welcome home day. It's the day we get to see as we are seen. And we will know as we are known. And we will be with Him forevermore in that wonderful place. But in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." And I know when we think of wicked, we think of ogres and witches, and we think of all kinds of gnarly kind of people that do all kinds of horrible things. But I'm telling you, every unsaved person, every person is a sinner. And sin is wickedness. And it's talking about being unsaved. It's talking about people that are in their sin without salvation. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God gets no pleasure out of seeing people die and go to hell instead of coming to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance, but people must receive Christ in order to go to heaven. Well, Lazarus, when he died and went to heaven, I want you to notice, he was comforted. In verse 25, he was comforted, no doubt, physically. There was no more sores. He was no longer an invalid. He had good health at that point in time. He was comforted financially and materially. He will walk on streets of gold and through gates of pearl throughout eternity. And he'll probably have some crowns and rewards as well. He was comforted socially. Probably this was the first time in his life that he fit in socially. Isn't that something? He fit right in. He was known even by Abraham. The Bible says, carried into Abraham's bosom, and I don't know that it's exactly this way, but in my mind, I picture Abraham sitting here, and maybe there's a bench or whatever, a pew or something like this here, and Lazarus is there, and in his bosom, maybe he puts his arm around him. Sure good to see you here. By Abraham himself, he fit right in heaven. He's comforted, and he's going to be that way forever and ever. You know, the rich man fared sumptuously every day, but his days came to an end. And Lazarus will be comforted throughout eternity. And by the way, Lazarus would want you to come to heaven. The rich man didn't want his brothers coming to hell. And Lazarus would love to tell you about the joys of dying in Jesus Christ and being in the presence of the Lord forever. I know people don't think that way, but I think it's going to be something to die in Christ. Now, I'm like everybody else that's a Christian. I just seen the trumpet sound be called out of here. But I stay here long enough and the Lord doesn't come back and my dying day comes. The Bible says, I don't know if I have it exact like this, the angels carried him in to Abraham's bosom. Wouldn't that be something? I think there'll be a peace and a joy and a comfort the world can't comprehend. Being with Christ. Living forevermore with the Lord and all the saints of all the ages. I want to give some words of encouragement to Christians here today. I know sometimes the road gets hard in this life. You can be a child of God and have some trials. We know that. Amen? Some of them are grievous. Some of them are really difficult. We have trials in life. And I would just say, keep on keeping on. Keep your chin up. Keep your nose clean. Keep your Bible open and trust God and serve Him. Amen. And when it's all said and done, we'll be with the songwriter who said it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I really believe when we die and go to heaven, I think we're going to be like the Queen of Sheba was. When she was told about the wealth and the wisdom of King Solomon, she got a caravan together and she went to visit King Solomon. And the purpose of the trip, she wanted to prove to herself that everybody was exaggerating about how wise Solomon was and how wealthy Solomon was. The Bible says when she got there, she saw the wealth and all that he had and all that was about him, the city of his servants and all those kind of things. And then the Bible says he told her all her questions. I think it says what it means, don't you? I feel like I'm doing good if I can answer questions. Amen? But he told her her questions and then answered them. And the Bible says she fainted in her spirit. And her response was, the half has not been told. The half has not been told. And I'm sure, I'm convinced, I've got ideas in my mind about what heaven's going to be like because the Bible says some things that I'm looking forward to. But when we get there, we're going to say the half has not been told. The half has not been told. When I say let's keep on keeping on, I think about Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 where the Bible says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. No matter how bad it gets here, it'll be on the other end of the scale, it'll be far better than our bad is bad in that wonderful place called heaven. Lazarus is saved. He's in heaven. The rich man was lost. He's in hell. I want to say a few words about Abraham. I want you to notice a couple things. First of all, Abraham had this world's goods. Abraham was wealthy and powerful and famous and influential. If you don't believe that, read Genesis chapter 11 through Genesis chapter 25. Abraham was a renowned man in his day and time. He was a great man in every way. The reason I'm saying that is I want you to understand, you don't have to be poor to be a Christian. And you don't have to be poor to be spiritual as a Christian. There are Christians who are poor. There are those that have very little. Your pastor's made some missions trips. I've made missions trips. I've been in what we call third world countries. And I've seen the poverty there. But I've seen the joy of the Lord on the faces of the Christians. Our first trip to Zambia, we have missionaries out of our church in Zambia in Africa. We spent about 12 days among the people and preaching and ministering and so forth and spending time with the missionaries. And the day we were getting ready to leave, a couple of ladies in the church came over and gave us a gift. And I thought, you don't need to give us a gift. We have so much more than you. But they had the joy of giving. The joy of the Lord in their lives. You know, the good thing about knowing the Lord or receiving the Lord, it's for anybody who will. And I'll tell you what, there are those who may be poor in this world's goods who are rich in the things that really matter because they know Christ and they're walking with Him. Thank God that is the truth. Well, Abraham, when his time came, he had died and went to heaven. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He's known as the father, as a friend of God and the father of the faithful. Great man of God, no doubt, Abraham. But I want you to notice something else about him. He was powerless to help the rich man once the rich man was in hell. He couldn't do anything for him. There was a great gulf fixed. You say, why are you pointing that out? I want you to know that your saved friends and family members and people you know, if you die without Jesus Christ, there's nothing anybody can do for you. You're lost forever. You know, if Abraham couldn't help him, we can't help him either. You know, I know people who are living their lives and they think they're going to get to heaven because they say things like, I have friends in the church. I know businessmen who would say, I have been a friend to the church by way of discounts and services and so forth. And those are nice things they do, but it'll not get them to heaven. People say, my dad was a pillar in the church. Or my mom taught Sunday school for years or whatever, sang in the choir. You know, knowing Christian people doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. There's a man that lives in our town. I would call him a friend. I've known him most of my life. We went through school together and so forth and stayed somewhat contact over the years that he's not a saved man. And I've talked to him about the things of the Lord. I've gone to his house and sit down and tried to win him to Christ. And he's told me different times, he says, well, he says, I must not be that bad. He said, you're my friend and you're a preacher. And he names another guy that he went to high school with. He's a preacher and I must not be all that bad. And as far as comparing him to other men, he's not bad. But the Bible says all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Truth is, if you're a little Volkswagen and they park you on a Cadillac parking lot between Cadillacs, you can sit there forever and you're still going to be just a Volkswagen. You can rub shoulders with Christians and die and go to hell because you're still a lost sinner. Everybody needs the Lord, don't they? We can help you now. We would welcome the opportunity to show you how you can receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And we would beseech you, we would plead with you, receive Christ as Savior. Because if you die without Him, you're going where the rich man still is. Others, the rich man in hell, Lazarus and Abraham in heaven, and then there's you. You know, this passage is talking to you and about you, no matter who you are. You're either like the rich man, you're on your way to hell, enjoying the things of this world, living for the things of the world. And by the way, you don't have to be rich to live for the things of the world. Those people very poor in Africa that we've been to see, and people all over this country and talking to people and so forth. Poor people are living for the things of the world too, is what I'm saying. They're living their lives for things that can't help them in eternity. Unsaved, neglecting your soul, and while you're neglecting your soul, you're influencing others to do the same. People you care about. Or you're like Abraham and Lazarus, saved, bound for heaven. Everyone needs to put their faith and trust in Christ so you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Now remember, this is a true story about real people and about a real place. There's a real heaven to gain and there's a real hell to shun. Think about that hell to shun. You know, the rich man is still there right now and he still never received a drop of water. And he never will. You die without Christ, you will join him. You know, Jesus said it this way. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And this isn't a Bible verse, but it sure is a Bible principle. And that is, he is no fool who gives what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. You know, you have nothing in this world that you're going to hold on to beyond this life. No matter how much money or things or pleasures, they'll be left behind. Clinging to things you can't keep. But those who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we have something we'll have forever. That's salvation. We will someday, those of us that are saved, will have everlasting health. Won't that be something? I said earlier, I can't run and jump like I used to. I used to really like to run and jump. I like playing sports. I like running the bases, doing other things like that. I don't know that I'll care about that kind of thing in heaven, but I won't have any aches and pains. There won't be any sickness. There won't be any disease. None of those things. And those things are forever and ever. So, what is it that I give that I can't keep? I give my way, my will, my things. I give up those things to know Jesus Christ and love Him and follow and serve Him. I'm not talking about those things taking us to heaven, giving up something. But the Bible speaks of repentance in our heart toward God for our sin and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a universal need in every life. I believe these thoughts speak not only to the lost, I think they speak to the saved. Please listen to this, and I'm nearing the end here. Christians, remember, hell is at the end of every unsaved life. And your actions, our actions, and our words can be used to bring people to the Lord or push them away from Him. Christian, will you listen to this thought? Living a good Christian life includes being a witness for Jesus Christ. Now, I want to emphasize that again because there are many, many people in good churches like this across our country and around our world today. They're faithful to the house of God and they love their church and they love their brothers and sisters in Christ and they do a lot of good things, and I'm not discounting any of those good things. But they haven't passed out a tract in who knows when. Not inviting people to church, not talking to anybody about their need for Christ, not telling others what the Lord has done for you and what He will do for you in eternity. Now, I'm telling you, as I read the Word of God, being a good Christian includes being a witness for Jesus Christ. We need to be witnesses. By the way, I always encourage our people to witness, and I would go on visitation and talk to people about the Lord and so forth. We didn't go on visitation just to get more people to come to church so our church could be bigger. We went on visitation. We talked to lost people because people need the Lord. Amen. Don't ever lose that thought. People need the Lord. We need to be reaching out to them. I read a book not long after I was saved. The title of the book was Our Guilty Silence. I don't remember everything the book said, but the title of the book speaks volumes about our need to be as Jesus said, as my Father sent me, even so send I you, to seek and to save that which was lost. The call to salvation comes from every direction. You're here without Christ, the call comes from above. Lazarus and all the saints in heaven would say, this is a wonderful place. You need to get ready so you can come here when the life is over on earth. It comes from below. It comes from hell. The rich man would still be crying out, this is a horrible place. Do what you need to do to not come here. Receive the Lord as Savior. The call comes from without. Every Christian in here and every Christian you'll ever meet who's a true Christian would tell you, it really is good being a Christian. It's good as far as eternity is concerned, but it's also good to have the Lord in your life and His comfort and direction and peace that passes understanding. We would say you need to be a Christian. So, not just so this life will be better, but so that you'll go to heaven when you die. And the call even comes from within. Jesus says in His Word, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. And what He's saying is, I'd like to come into your heart. I'd like to become your Lord and personal Savior. I'd like to save you from hell. We call that the still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts about our need for salvation. So the question is, as I say, the message is to you and for you. Are you like the rich man? Still on your way to hell? Bound to spend there for eternity? Or you like Lazarus and Abraham? You've been saved and you know it for sure. And if you say, preacher, I'm saved, I know that. Then my question is, what are you doing to help other people come to heaven with you? Let's bow our heads today, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a couple of questions, a word of prayer. And we'll give an invitation. And invites you to come. I wonder if there would be those who would say, Brother Wood, I'm not saved or I'm not sure. I don't know if I die today that I'm going to heaven, but I am concerned about my soul. Would you let me pray for you? Just slip your hand up and back down. Say, Preacher, I need to get this settled. This is very real in my life. I'm not saved. I know I need to be. Would you let me pray for you? Slip your hand up and back down. Anybody like that today? Nobody else looking around? I wonder if there would be Christians who would say, Preacher, God spoke to my heart about a spiritual need in my life, and I'd like you to pray for me. I want to get it right. Would you slip it up and back down? I wouldn't embarrass anybody. Yes, God bless you. I would. God bless you and you as well. I wouldn't call your name in front of others, but I'd like to pray for you today. Say, Preacher, would you pray for me? I have a need. God spoke to my heart. Father, we thank you today for your word and the privilege of preaching your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth and the power of your word. And Father, I pray for these that raise their hands. I pray today that they'll make the decisions, they'll make the commitments they need to make to get things right with you. Probably some that didn't raise their hand that you're dealing with. And I pray, Lord, you'd give each one the good sense, the wisdom to say yes to you and do your bidding from your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We stand together, page 471 in your hymn book. Cleanse me, O God. Thank God He's willing to cleanse you and me. Spirit of God's dealing with your heart. You have a recognized spiritual need. This is not just a closing song. This is an invitation. We invite you today. You could come and get things right with the Lord. There may be somebody here saying, I would like to come, but I wouldn't know what to do. I'm sure if you'll come, somebody will help you with your decision for Christ, your commitment for Him. While we sing, will you come? Spirit of God works. Others are coming. God's dealing with your heart. Please don't be proud. Please don't be stubborn. Say yes to the Lord. Always right to say yes to the Lord. It's always sad and wrong to disobey Him. Before we sing another verse today, it's very likely that in a message like this, some of you have had an unsaved friend, family member, loved one, co-worker come to your mind. Somebody you care about, fellow student, whoever it might be. I would encourage you, while that one's on your heart, take some time this morning and pray for that person and commit yourself that you're going to go talk to that person about their need for Jesus Christ. For a Christian, I think the right response to a message like this is that we would respond with a burden and follow through with that burden to reach out to unsaved people God's spoke to your heart about. And I would recommend you come and make that commitment today before this service is over. Whatever your need might be, the invitation is still open as we sing. Will you come? Whether it's an altar or just kneeling where you are, or sitting and praying, surely there are those that you're concerned about. Sing one more verse, and not going to continue after that. But as he continues to sing, my desire for you is you would leave this service knowing that you've done, by way of decision and commitment, what the Lord would have you to do this day.
Thank you so much, Brother Woods. The Woods will be back with us tonight. Looking forward to being together at 6 o'clock for the evening service. A few things from the bulletin just to point out. Our sympathies extended to the Benson Chin family. Funeral is going to be Wednesday. Visitation at 11, service at 12, internment at 1:30 at Leavenworth National Cemetery. It's the Davis Funeral Chapel, so you want to look that up. It's Shawnee Drive, I think, in Leavenworth. Patch the Pirate coming up. There's a sign-up sheet on the back table for that. And if you can pay your funds, that would be great. And that's going to start September the 8th. And then in a couple of weeks, we're going to have the Hardys with us. And September 5th, we'll have a Brown Bag Sunday. And so encourage you to mark that down. And other announcements there. We won't take time to go through all those today. Would mention our prayer needs. Ask that you'd remember to pray for these. Lift them up. And ask the Lord to intercede on their behalf. Plus, Brother Gary was sharing with me that his brother was taken to the hospital yesterday. He's down at St. Luke's. Stephen, is that right? And he's had issues. They put in a temporary defibrillator, pacemaker. And they're going to implant the permanent one on Monday. So if you would, pray for him. And, they, you know, it's so sad. A lot of times you go to the hospital nowadays, no one go with you. And you know, just be a lonely time, but we know the Lord can be a great comfort. Amen. And so pray for him during this time. I'm going to have the Woods join me in the back, and we'll be dismissed in prayer today. Lord, bless you for being here. And let's see, Brother Ethan, why don't you lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you.